الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and also sisters who listen over receivers, once again there has been a nikah, and as I stated that generally when there is a nikah on a Jummah occasion, then whatever the topic may have been the week before that, which we were supposed to continue with, but we generally switch over to nikah. It is appropriate that something should be said on that occasion about nikah. But the discussion centers around certain things which are relevant to everyone, whether the person is married or not. So there are certain ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and certain verses of the Quran Sharif which we listen to all the times when it comes to nikah occasions. For example, the three ayat which were recited in the khutbah of nikah. Now from time immemorial of whenever we attend nikah, then we listen to these ayat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam recited those verses, and from his time onwards we get the khatibs that they recite this ayat in the nikah khutbah. And every ayat of that khutbah, or which is recited in this khutbah of nikah, deals with taqwa. That you must have that khawf of Allah Ta'ala, that fear of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, meaning the fear of displeasing that Allah. It does not mean that we fear Allah Ta'ala like we fear some lion or some tiger or some cheetah or some ferocious animal. Nauzubillah, nauzubillah. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is very loving, very kind, very forgiving. He does not want to send everybody to Jahannam. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to give us direction in life. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wants to give us direction in life so that we may become the recipients of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy in this world and in the hereafter. A life of peace, a life of security, a life of happiness, a life of contentment, a life of enjoyment in both worlds. That is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to give to mankind. So these verses of the Quran Sharif, when they are exhorting us towards taqwa, then what does it really mean? We cannot go into detailed tafsir of these ayat. Many a times I have discussed it. But just to give you in a nutshell, that the nikah that is taking place, the person has to understand fully well that he is going to bring into his marriage, into his life, as his companion, someone who was a total stranger to him. A girl who was at one time in a home, very much looked after by the parents. I'm not talking about modern day society. I'm not talking about those parents who have absolutely no concern where their daughters are, whether they are in rave clubs or discos, or they are drinking or taking drugs. As long as they enjoy themselves and the daughters enjoy themselves. And it's not only the daughters, the parents have to be even concerned where the sons are, which unfortunately we are not concerned about. But since in nikah the person is going to bring somebody's daughter into his marriage, and we are talking about those homes where the daughters were given a very secure upbringing, the parents were very loving, very sharing, very caring. They gave those daughters everything of the best with regards to Islamic education, with regards to art and craft and whatever other requirements they must have been or there are for a woman to be in marriage. The parents gave them all those things. And now the time comes that they have to part from that beloved daughter of theirs. It is the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Which parent at such a time would like to give his daughter away? That daughter who he cared for all his life. Or from the time that she was born until she was 16, 18, 20, whatever age she was getting married. Those parents who were looking after every need of their daughter. Now when this person brings her into his marriage, And by virtue of this acceptance at the time of nikah, nakahtuha wa qabiltuha, or the person says, I have accepted her in my marriage, what he is saying is that I am accepting all the responsibilities that now come with this. The person will now have to change his whole attitude towards life. Look at the number of breakdowns in marriages. The Western world is tired, they are sick, they do not know what to do. The statistics of divorces, if a person has to learn and read about, then there are more than the marriages that are taking place. More than 60% of the marriages in America are a failure. And in other countries, sometimes it is 70% and 50%. But why are these marriages failing? When they say that they got to know the woman so well because they lived with that woman for years, they were courting for years, then why is the marriage breaking down? So as a Muslim, the person was supposed to give a proper care and upbringing to his daughter. Make sure that she is not caught up in the webs of the time and the nets of the time. Sometimes it's East net, sometimes West net, sometimes M net, sometimes Shaitan's net. All different kinds of nets have been spread to catch, and all the different kinds of webs have been spread to catch. And people are getting caught, whether they are boys or girls, men or women, old or young, they're getting caught on the different webs or the different nets. And the end result is that marriage is terminating. There's no happiness. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts hatred into the hearts of the husband for the wife in the wife's heart for the husband. And we cannot understand that why things are happening then. There are some marriages which are a test for the husband and a test for the wife. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is testing the husband for patience. He is pious, he is righteous, he is God-fearing. And he is fulfilling the rights of the wife also. He is going out of his way to comply with Sharia. But yet she does not seem to cooperate, or she gives him a difficult time. So then we will say that that is a test. That are you a man or are you a woman? If you are a man, then you must learn to tolerate. You must have a large heart. You must learn to accommodate. You must learn to forgive. You must learn to look at all the good things that are in that wife. If she has got a few weaknesses, she must have got a lot of good characteristics also. Look at how much she does for you. She is like a maid in the house. She is a cook in the house. And so many other things she is. And when you have children, she is giving the children all the care and all the love and affection. So if there are some weaknesses, so now the husband has to have a heart to accommodate. He must overlook, he must read the ahadith, so look into the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that what should a husband do at such a time. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, when he was questioned, then he said regarding the rights, he said, when you eat, give the wife also to eat. You clothe yourself, give her also clothes. In other words, the clothing, shelter and all other requirements, provide for her. And then if you are angry also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, do not slap her on the face. Do not curse her. So that is the husband, we will say, then he is the husband. He is truly a man who learns to take all these type of problems. And sometimes it is the wife who is pious, who is righteous, who is God-fearing. She does everything for the husband. She awaits his arrival. She looks forward to him coming home. She has everything prepared for him. Hot meals and whatever his requirements are. But he is a person who has given his heart to the women on the streets and on the cinema screens, and Hollywood and Bollywood movie actresses. So his heart is no more in his wife, no matter how beautiful and pretty she may be. Therefore, by way of example, one woman was crying when she was getting married. So her friends told her, is this an occasion to cry? They were beautifying her. They were making her wear her wedding gown. They were applying the lipstick and making her look a little bit like a clown with all the face makeup. But in any case, in their opinion, they were making her look beautiful, no matter what she looked to the outside world. But at that time, she started crying. So they asked her, "Why are you crying? This is an occasion for happiness, for joy. You must be rejoicing that you are getting married." She said, "No, it's not the time to rejoice now. The time to rejoice will be when my husband will say that I'm happy with you. When my husband will say that I love you. When my husband will say that you look beautiful to me, then that will be the time to rejoice and be happy." In the same way, we too in this world, no matter what we think of ourselves, even though we may be making namaz and keeping fast and giving zakat and charities and making zikr and tasbih, but on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will say, "Oh my beloved servant, I am pleased with you. You may now enter Jannat. For whatever you did for my pleasure. So today I too am pleased with you, and you can go into Jannat and enjoy my bounties in Jannat." That will be the day to rejoice. In this world, people can label us and give us all kinds of titles, minister of this and executive director of this company and CEO of that, and all kinds of titles, Maulana Sahab, Mufti Sahab, Qari Sahab, all those titles in their places. We must make shukr of Allah Ta'ala if somebody expresses a good opinion. I say, "Ya Allah, it is your kindness that you concealed my weaknesses, my shortcomings. Outwardly I appear to be a pious person. Therefore people have got some kind of good opinion about me." So we must look into our hearts, look into our actions, look into our deeds. What have we really done in our lives? How much have we obeyed Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And especially when we are in seclusion, in the privacy of our homes, and in the privacy of hotel rooms. When it is holiday time, then people are going in different directions. There's nothing wrong. In many places, you have to use hotels. But then we must not think that we have now become azad, we have become free. We will never become free until the time of our death. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. We will have to make ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala until death comes. We cannot say that we want to free ourselves. Then it means that we have to free ourselves from Islam, from deen, from sharia, from Quran, from sunnah. And na'uzu billah, may Allah ta'ala protect us. Then it means that we must announce that I am no more a Muslim. Then if the person is free in this world, then you will face all the punishment in the hereafter. So we are Muslims, we have committed ourselves, and that is why the nikah is also taking place in an Islamic manner. Otherwise there was no need for this type of witnesses and this type of procedures. And in our country, which claims to have the best constitution in the world, where they also have legalized same-sex marriages and other kind of filth. So at that time we have said that we are Muslims. So that husband, when he will tell to the wife that I am pleased with you, she says that's the time that I will be happy. Because there will be so many husbands, no matter how pretty the wife, but the husband has given his heart away somewhere. So Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by means of this nikah, he has said that one of the benefits, or some of the major benefits, he has mentioned in other hadith also, but in this hadith sharif he says that it is غَضُّ لِلْبَصْرِ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ. In other words, it is going to be a protection for the gaze. In the environment that we live, there is nothing but invitation to look at haram. We are being invited from all sides. The television, the streets, the bazaars, the supermarkets, the colleges, the universities, the airports, the aeroplanes, everywhere we have to move. We are people living in this world. We are not living in a forest or a jungle with animals. We are not living on mountain tops. So you think Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not know that a time will come when this creation of mine, the paragon of creation, man, will have to live in this kind of environment? So can Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make that sharia and that Quran and that sunnah so difficult that a person would say it's impossible to practice? Can it be like that? Then what kind of an Allah will that be who makes something impossible to practice? Yes, we have to find out. There are certain concessions that are given in certain cases. That is a different subject. But from whichever angle you look at Sharia, you look at Quran Sharif, you look at Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there's nothing but beauty in it. There's nothing but beauty in it. We haven't studied Islam, therefore we find weakness and shortcomings in Islam, whereas those weaknesses are in ourselves. That example I've given many times, that it was the full moon. One woman had just changed the napkin of her baby, and afterwards she was looking at the full moon. Now when she had changed the napkin, a little bit of that dirt remained on her fingernails, because many of them have got shaitan sized fingernails. So a little bit of that remained. So now when looking at the moon, she had a finger like that near the nose and looking at the moon. Now when the dirty smell came from her fingernails, then she looked at the beautiful moon and said, "Oh moon, you too have got a bad odor tonight." Addressing that beautiful moon, she says, "Look like there's bad odor coming from that moon tonight." So where was that odor coming from? It was coming from her own fingernails. Just like that, our actions, our deeds, our dark, dark deeds has made Islam appear to be something very difficult, and we are finding faults in Islam. So through this marriage, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is uniting hearts. So we go back to the beginning where I was stating that the husband is bringing into his marriage a woman, a girl who was brought up by parents in a very different environment. I'm talking about the good parents, those who really treated the daughter like a daughter. And now they are giving that daughter away. What do they expect then of that son-in-law? What would we expect of a son-in-law if we have to give our daughter to someone whom we brought up with great love, great affection, great compassion, great kindness, great mercy and sympathy, and we gave them the best in education, in upbringing, where there was a need for reprimanding, we reprimanded them also. We kept them away from those areas and those places and those things which could have brought destruction to their morals and to their behavior. And then we gave our daughter to someone. What would we expect from that son-in-law? To get angry over little things, to blow his top over trivial matters, and to keep on cursing and beating and abusing? Is that what would we expect? So just what as we would like that our daughter should be treated with kindness, with compassion, with love. And if there was some error, some mistake, how would we have treated our beloved daughter? Again, I'm not talking about those parents or those fathers who are on drugs and those mothers who are hooked on the television or other kind of haram actions. I'm talking about the good parents. That if they had a daughter, or if we were parents and that daughter made some mistake, what would we do? So this is what is expected, that when the person is taking in his marriage somebody's daughter, then he must think that this is a ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If it had not been for Allah ta'ala's hukam, then believe me, many, many parents would have never given their daughters. It is the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They are of marriageable age, so now give them in marriage. Every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala married. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam also, when he's going to come down, then he will make nikah. So marriage is an institution which we have to work on. It takes hands, it takes bricks and stone to build a home, but you need hearts to build a house, but you need hearts to build a home. Happiness will come when both are accommodating, both are overlooking each other's faults, and both are interested in one and only one thing, that how can I go out of my way to fulfill the other's rights. The husband is concerned that I must not do anything that violates the right of the wife, even though she may be doing lots of things that are against his own happiness. But he goes out of his way to fulfill her rights. And then she also has only one concern, that he is my husband. And if I am going to make his khidmat and I am going to serve him and I am going to obey him in matters of Quran and Sunnah and Sharia, not anything haram, so then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give me Jannat. Allah ta'ala will become pleased with me. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will be pleased with me. Look at Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does she have to say about Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We can't even go into the details, there's no time for it. But just one incident of her life gives us so much of lessons. Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day walked into the home. Now she reports in another hadith sharif, whenever Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked in, many times I've mentioned this hadith sharif because we have forgotten these sunnats of Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We remember the sunnat of miswak sometime, and the sunnat of whether you should eat zarda and suji after the biryani or before the biryani. That sunnat everybody finds out. The sweet sunnats. But walking into the home with salam, greeting with salam and entering the home. And entering the home with a smile. No matter how angry the person may have been outside the house. And whatever pressure he must have been under. But when he's entering the home, then he is smiling, he's cheerful. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam entered with a smile. He saw Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha drinking from a bowl, drinking water. I'm just giving you the gist of it. Now remember, this was a time when women were treated like doormats. They had no rights. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave them rights. In inheritance they had no rights. They were property that was exchanged. Look at how the women were treated. Even until recently we know that if a Hindu husband died, then the wife also was burnt on that. That she does not deserve any kind of survival after that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he enters the house and he sees her drinking. So he says, must leave a little bit of water for him. He takes that bowl and is about to drink, and then he asks Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that from which side of this bowl did you drink? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha points the direction from which she drank, the side of the bowl which she put to her lips. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then turns that bowl and drinks exactly from that same side of the bowl. Now what was he teaching us? What was he teaching us? He was teaching us muhabbat and love for the wife. At a time when there was no love for women, when there was abuse of women that we can't even imagine, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving by example. So marriage is not a joke. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu lightheartedly, when somebody asked him, then he said, what is marriage? He said, surur wa shahrin, 1 month of happiness. Ghumum wa darin, after that, lifelong, there's going to be gham, grief. Now you have to earn, you have to bring clothes, you have to provide shelter, you have to provide food. And then he said, after that, it'll be kusur wa zahri. It'll break your back because the person has to go on making an effort to supply and provide. And then somebody said, add to that nuzul wa qabrin, that after that will be down in the grave. But of course it does not mean that he was the most loving husband to his wife, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, by his example, by his beautiful example, he showed us that how we can make marriages work, how we can live happily, how we can enjoy that which Allah Ta'ala Himself mentioned in the Quran Sharif, mawaddatam wa rahma, love and mercy. And believe me that if we are going to go the extra mile to be kind, to be generous, to be accommodating, to be forgiving, to be loving, to be caring, to be sharing, to be compassionate, to be merciful, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will change the condition of the heart of that wife. And then you will see that you will find Jannat on earth. I keep on using this word because Alhamdulillah I have seen and experienced Jannat on earth in many homes. No need to say more. But when it will happen is that when we change, as I mentioned the other night, that we go on complaining about the other person's weakness. She is like this, she is like that, she is like that, this is her character, that. So if she's got all those weaknesses, then why should we also behave in the same manner? We should go the extra mile in akhlaq. When we're going to bring the beautiful akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam into our marriages, our homes, then definitely we'll find paradise on earth, irrespective of the condition of that home after that, whether there's poverty, whether there is richness, whether there is anything or there is nothing. But the person will enjoy happiness. May Allah Ta'ala bless this marriage which also took place with happiness. May Allah unite the hearts in love, muhabbat, compassion, mercy. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make it the means of pious, righteous children coming to this world. And all others who are married, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must give them happiness, contentment, satisfaction, the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.